agriculture includes such a wide range of people doing so many jobs, and we need to remember how connected we are. And it doesn't matter if you're the person putting the crop in the ground or chasing the cows or doing what you guys are doing. We're all connected, and we need to support each other.
There is a podcast in Iowa, Farm for Profit, 'twas named by they. They stirred up a banker near, then quick came an auctioneer. Making profit was their first goal, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. These formats shook us to our core. With Farm for Fun, you will not snore. Banker set all mics to on, and the mullet of podcasts was born. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. Before we knew, conversations grew. Growing corn even said F you. So won't you join Tenor Dave, Corey and crew? Please like, share, review. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go.
It's like the best sound ever. Welcome to the Farm for Profit Podcast. This is Tanner Winterhoff.
This is Corey Hillebo.
And this is David Whitaker.
Thanks for joining us again. What another wonderful week to spend with you. This is a Farm for Fun episode. So as you just heard, we'll enjoy a couple of beers, kick back, talk to somebody from agricultural social media. If you're going to follow right into the next episode in line, it's a Farm for Profit show. It has a What's Working in Ag segment and a general topic. But we're here to have a good time today, Corey.
Yeah. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's. 2022, we made it.
Did we? I mean, this is pre-recorded.
We're here. We got here.
And as always, like this idea was brought to us as a shared idea from Farm the Number 4 Profit LLC at gmail.com. If you have an idea for our podcast, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah. Anytime you have a guest, a topic, send it over. You just need someone to talk to, you bet. Reach out to us.
We got a listener review. Our listener review today is brought to you by BW Fusion. Because they're back.
Back.
We love having partners come back. That means we did well for them. They like what we did. We like what they did.
It means our listeners like what they do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, BW Fusion, for sponsoring us and partnering up with us. And our listener review is brought to you by them today. What is that, Tanner?
That's right. That's my job. This is from Jason Young. Awesome, awesome show. Love listening to you guys. Kudos from Indiana. So thank you, Jason, for leaving that behind. Don't forget to check out the products and services offered by BW Fusion at bw-fusion.com. They are the spot to go for all of your microbiological
microbiology
needs. It's like a top-tier ad right there, gentlemen.
For all your microbiological needs.
There you go.
There you go.
Well,
you know what's kind of cool? So you just had a listener review from where? Indiana?
Yeah.
So Indiana, we've got them from Canada. We've got them from kind of across the globe. And our guest today is kind of to our west.
Yep. I don't think we've ever had a guest from where they're from.
No.
Are you ready?
I will tell you where they're from.
All right. Let's nail this.
Wow, we got some Bulls music here?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a
lot.
I got you.
Can't hear myself think. Today on the Farm for Fun show, it's gonna get western as we go over to Idaho to catch up with one of my favorite social media follows. This woman is a full-time rancher, real-life cowgirl running cattle in the mountain ranges by horseback. She's the mastermind behind the Ag of the World Twitter account, and her amazing TikTok videos are the sole reason that I don't need to and that I don't watch Yellowstone. From J Lazy S Angus Ranch, Mrs. Cheyenne Smith.
Oh, woo! Woo! Welcome, welcome.
What is up, Cheyenne?
Thank you. I wouldn't watch Yellowstone.
There we go. There we go. I don't need to watch it because I get the real stuff on TikTok.
Oh, there it is.
Yep. Okay, so I said you're from Idaho. Give us a little background about yourself. Just, you know, where are you from? What do you guys do?
We started a ranch about 16 years ago now in Salmon area of Idaho. We raise commercial and registered Black Angus beef. We install hydro beds, which are bale feeding beds for trucks. And we raise Morgan and Morgan Cross horses.
Okay.
Wow.
So those hydro beds, those are the ones that like that you back up to a bale and it pokes in on both sides and you can lift it up onto the flatbed?
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of farmers make attachments for these that go onto their four-wheeler or their ATV.
Yeah,
they just lift their ATV onto the back, and then they go check cows, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if that's just a farmer welded it together or if that's actually like a accessory.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. They have lots of hydraulic accessories that you can plug into the hydraulic lines, but we always thought that all you needed was something. We pick up all sorts of stuff with ours.
I was going to say, that's my fascinating. I've seen that on TikTok and Twitter, the things that people pick up, whether it's a head gate or a chute or a salt block or a mineral tub. It's fascinating the number of uses that you can come up with just by having those arms.
Mm-hmm. I watched a little video about you and your husband starting up your ranch. You guys didn't have a ranch growing up, right? You started this from scratch.
No, we started this from scratch. Yeah. My husband grew up around ranching. All of his uncles have ranches. He grew up on them, basically. But we had to buy our own.
Buy your own. That's not an easy thing to do. I'm a banker. I'm in finance. You don't just go buy a ranch.
No, you go into debt.
You go into debt.
So I had a privilege of doing a little homework and research behind this. So your ranch is a combination of purebred Angus and leased cattle. Can you explain what it means to ranch with leased cattle?
Yeah. So I guess a little bit of history, but we started with a couple commercial cows of our own and then bought the land where the ranch is and started buying registered cattle because that was my husband's passion, was the purebred business. And we had right away within the first year a neighbor rancher that wanted to retire and wanted us to lease his cattle and his lamb. So we leased both from him. And then we bought a little more land personally and more cattle personally. And then just this fall, we've leased another ranch and bought and leased some more cattle. So it's leasing cattle is just an agreement you make with whoever owns them. And there's no one size fit. You sit down with them and you figure out what's going to work for both of you financially. And so we pay for our leased cattle with the calf crop. He gets a percentage of the calf crop.
I see. So for our listeners, are you like a cow-calf operation? Do you keep the mama cows around every year? Do you winter them up in the mountains and then bring them down to a ranch and feed them hay all winter? Or do you get rid of the whole herd and bring them back?
We are a cow-calf operation, but we are a cow-calf operation with range. So we summer in the mountains and come home and feed and start calving in January. We're on our quiet time right now, where we don't have to do anything because it hasn't snowed yet. But they winter at home, and they spend from May until sometimes November on range.
If you're putting them up in the mountains, you probably lease some BLM ground, some Bureau of Land Management probably.
I did not know what that was.
BLM.
BLM. And
that's a dangerous term.
That is the most hilarious thing with everything that's going on. I cannot use BLM because people don't understand why. And so I have to.
You just got to get us Western folks. We know what BLM really stands for.
Listeners, you should have seen my eyes.
You get really angry when you.
I didn't even think about it until you guys.
We're not talking about the same thing. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, listeners should have seen my eyes and Corey's eyes. It was like, oh crap, that's going to get edited out. Oh, no, that's real.
Good thing I said Bureau of Land Management, I guess. But, you're renting.
Yeah, you got at it.
A lot of people say you can rent government ground.
Yeah. We have close to probably 90,000 acres between BLM, Forest Service and state ground that we lease.
90,000.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, it's not just ours. We almost every one of those we share with other ranchers.
Oh, sure, but that's it's large.
It's a whole mountain.
Yeah.
If you guys remember from the video that we watched, that's what we're going to get into it, but branding their cattle, their cattle might be out with someone else too. And when they do roundup, bring them back down from the mountains. I'm guessing you're using those brands heavily.
Yeah. Brands. And we all try to use different colored ear tags. A couple ranches still use earmarks too, but it's pretty simple to sort them out. They all come down into corrals a few at a time. Everybody goes down and picks theirs out of the corral and takes them home. Or we push them down the highway at the end of the season after they come off the mountain and sort them real quick. But yeah, brands and ear tags come in key to help you figure out which one's yours. You definitely don't want to send one out without a brand.
So that's fascinating. I'm sitting here basically with my jaw dropped thinking of like 16 different questions I want to ask. Because Corey's family and my family, we raise hogs, and we raise hogs in confinement. And we know when that hog gets out of the confinement, that's a problem. And it's usually just one about every year. How do you keep track? How do you keep track of these cattle?
We have extensive records. Each cow has a tag in its ear that has three numbers on it. The one number will be that cow's sire. The next one down will be its mom, and then its personal ID number. And we keep extensive notes and write everything down. At some point, we're going to get high-tech enough to do it with a computer, but because it goes on a notebook first, I have not a lot of inclination to put it in a computer afterwards. So we have books and books of information.
I was just going to ask you if you used to help us. Cattle software to manage all that, and any use EID tags as well for electronic identification at all?
We are starting. Yeah, they're starting to switch over. The bang tag that they put in female cows is going to be turned into an EID tag. We've used EIDs in the past on calves that we sell. And then for the registered herd, we have to use Ames and the American Angus Association software. Because that stuff has to be, there's a paper trail that's computerized. And so we do use software, but for the sickness and the treating and stuff, that stuff's just kept in the, their little black books. And then they have all of my husband's special ladies' numbers in them. And am I old enough that a little black book joke is still applicable?
Yeah, I get it. I get it. That's going to register well. That was a good one.
Not for much longer, I doubt it will work.
That's fun. Let's take a quick pause. I'm going to be able to fire questions the entire episode. So let's take a quick pause. Thank you to Doll Distributing for sending us up a beverage. I did get them shipped out to Idaho. So Cheyenne can participate as many as she wants to. But what's the first one I opened, Corey?
So this is a Goose Island beer, but the can is just, I think it's cool as hell. It's a Neon Bear Hug. It's an IPA.
And you got any bears in Idaho?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Just black ones, though.
Black ones. Not neon?
Well, here. This black one's here.
Gotcha. So it's got a bear on it, and it's neon blue with neon pink sunglasses on. It's kind of cool.
All right, let's give it a taste.
Give it a shot.
Oh. Oh. It's a...
Wow. That's got multiple layers.
Hopefully you like Bitey there.
Bitey.
Dave did not like it.
Bitey.
Bitey the bear.
Yep.
It was cold.
Born in Chicago, 1988. That must be when Goose Island started. 10,000 volts of flavor. That's what it says.
That was a little electrifying. I could get that.
Yeah.
It's cool. 7% alcohol.
I like it. It was smooth. It had a little extra. There was a second flavor. The neon.
Let's get back to it.
So, Cheyenne, do you guys, your husband, you said you were commercial cattle, and then you decided you were going to go purebred. So you doing a whole lot of AI, or do you just use different sires on as herd bulls?
So we originally started doing everything with herd bulls, but we were asked to join a purebred bull sale with our bulls instead of selling them just at home. And so we started about 4 years ago AIing everything that was registered for the first heat cycle. And we've been doing that, and it's been working pretty good. And I've been liking the bulls we get out of it. And then what we do is we take a group of brothers that we keep for ourselves that we've raised and put them on the commercial herd to test them to see what we can do with them. And we started doing that before we were AIing. That's how we've picked up these commercial herds that were not bad, good cows, but not on our program. So we picked up their minerals. We got them on our medical routines with the vaccinations and whatever. And then we started using one sire group on them so that they're all brothers or half brothers, and just seeing what we can do. And we went gangbusters with our calf props on our commercial cows. We've really improved the herd over the years that we've had it. And we're going to start doing that again with this new herd and see what we can do to pick it up.
I'm curious, when you guys go up into the mountains, so you guys are obviously on horseback, right?
Most of the time,
for the most part.
There's roads up there, so you can drive up there. So you can drive
up there. Like,
but
how long? I mean, because this is completely new concept to me. I know of it, but I don't know the ins and outs. How long are you guys gone for? Is it a day? Is it a week? How long?
I wish we could be gone for a week. Because we grow our own hay, we can't be gone that long. It depends on what we're doing. We can drive to the mountain to check on stuff in about an hour and a half, and then grab a motorcycle from a cabin up there and zoom around if we need to. If I'm moving cows, I'm gone all day. And that all day can mean 3 a.m. until midnight all day. But we can come back that night if we have to. Sometimes we're up there overnight and half the next day before we have to come down. But it's not more than a couple days at a time.
So when you say you're moving cows, like, is that just to like another pasture or meadow, or do they find?
So when the cows are on range, you're climbing the mountain in sections. We start on what we call the river bottom in May. And then by June, we need to have the herd up off of the BLM. The river bottoms is the BLM ground. We have to have them up off of the BLM ground and starting putting them onto the first rotation of the forest part of the mountain, which is about mid mountain. And then in July, we start back at the bottom because some cows like to go down and some cows like to climb on their own. We start on the bottom of the river again and gather the whole bottom and go all the way up over the top of the mountain into the high mountain meadows in July. And then in August, we gather what we can from whatever meadows they're in and move them to different meadows or over a bump to a different area of the mountain. They're not pastures. There's no fences, but they're huge areas. And we work together with the, we own two of those ranges now. We used to have three range partners. Now we just have two because we have two of those slots. But we work together with those other ranchers, and we all have areas that we concentrate on. So I will move other people's cows a lot of the time too. We just take care of our areas. And then at the end of the season, we gather everything back into the original high mountain meadows. There's a area with a hot wire fence so we can keep them from leaving when we need to, so that we can pop them down if they're not coming on our own. Fortunately, where our cows are, they tend to start coming home in September if the weather gets cold, and I can just go down to the river bottoms, and I do it once a week, and just scoop them south and across the river with them, and then trail them down the highway about 4 miles to the ranch.
Wow. This is fascinating.
Yeah, I just,
this must be where Corey was talking about the scenic TikToks, the views. I mean, you're talking about river bottom, beautiful meadows, climbing a mountain, and then I assume even more beautiful meadows on the top of a mountain. I can see why you got drawn in, Corey.
Over the top of the mountain.
Over the top.
Yeah, her TikToks are freaking awesome.
I think I live in one of the most beautiful places in the country. I've lived in a lot of beautiful places in the West. Is outstanding as a whole, but it is the only reason my videos and my TikToks get any traction is it's just breathtaking here. It's just a beautiful place to live.
Well, and I would say though, you have a knack for like the photographic angle and how to film things. I don't know how you do that while you're riding a horse and herding cattle, like, but you're very talented in that aspect. I don't know how you do it.
Thank you.
It's very good.
I used to break a lot of cameras. I've broken a lot of expensive cameras, and I actually haven't broken or drowned or lost any phones. I will now that I've said that, but the phone capabilities made things easier on me.
So you're mainly shooting with a phone?
I shoot only with a phone now. Yeah, after I broke my second $700 camera, I decided that was not going to be great.
Gotcha. Wow, I don't blame you one bit.
I thought you were going to say you break horses. I was like, well, that's not very conducive for taking photos. But yeah,
she probably does that too.
Yeah. I haven't broke a horse yet either.
That is fascinating. Like Corey said in your introduction, if we're not mistaken, you are also the brains behind starting the Ag of the World Twitter account. Is that correct?
I started the Ag of the World account, but I didn't come up with the concept. Somebody invited me to host the Farms of the World Twitter account, Farmers of the World Twitter account. And after I did that, I thought, what an awesome concept, except I want to include more than just farmers, because right. Agriculture includes such a wide range of people doing so many jobs. And we need to remember how connected we are. And it doesn't matter if you're the person putting the crop in the ground or chasing the cows or doing what you guys are doing. We're all connected and we need to support each other. And so that's what I was thinking with the Egg of the World, just to make it a little bit more inclusive. But I never would have thought of it if I hadn't been invited to host Farmers of the World.
Well, I think it's a great idea. And we've stolen a couple of your guests as your guest hosts as guests on this podcast. So it
awesome.
Was... A long
That's
time
awesome.
Coming that we got the founder on herself.
It's almost got to be a full-time job just figuring out who you're going to go to next, doesn't it?
It used to be. It used to be really not fun. For some reason, Conrad has taken pity on me and finds new people or sees new people and sends me their links. And then all I have to do is ask them if they'd like to host. It's made my life a lot easier. Because the busier we get, the less time I have to devote. And it's been on Twitter for, I think, maybe 5 years now. And I think people are kind of past the excitement of it. And there's not as many new agricultural accounts coming on. Conrad really saves me in that sense. He finds people and sends them my way. And it's very helpful.
We don't have any problem with that either. Our listeners email us ideas all the time. Which really helps us with the content on this podcast, the direction that they want us to go, the people they want us to talk to. So that's great. That's probably how a lot of these contents get some of this stuff done.
Yeah, I don't think the excitement is gone. I think it's just maybe Twitter has died down a little bit. It's probably more over on the TikTok side of things.
Oh yeah, you should do Ag of the World on TikTok. How would you?
It's just all video. Would be all video submission.
If you do lives, you could just invite people to speak with you.
Yeah.
Be,
cool.
Be like a live podcast. No editing.
I've seen people take their podcasts and air little streams of it on TikTok, and I think they get good reception. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Absolutely. But we all know with Spotlight, with stardom, with larger social media followings, comes a lot of different exposure. You have a unique story around how social media can invade a personal life, don't you?
I do. It was the other way around. And I probably didn't explain that properly. I had someone here locally invade my privacy. And when I was able to push them away personally, they used my social media to further harass me. I have had lots of harassers on social media that were complete strangers, but usually you can figure out by the look of their account what they are. So it's a little bit different. But in both instances, the thing that's scary, especially if you're a parent, and I'm a parent, is how easy it is to create a new account and just keep harassing someone. Mm-hmm. There's not much you can do about it. Maybe if you fight for a long time, you can get that account taken down or you can block it. But if you can start a new account or 5 accounts or 10 accounts in an hour, if you're really bound and determined to harass someone, that person has to shut their stuff down. They have to stop to protect themselves. There's no real good protections. coming from any of the social media platforms to help you deal with that. And there's not a lot of legal recourse, because how do you prove besides, you know, it's that person?
Right.
Or if it's an anonymous person, how do you know who the hell they are? You don't.
I just want to know, you know, I get some pushback on some local stuff as well. The ones that are online and just trolls, like, it's easy. It bothered me in the beginning, but eventually you just learn to roll by them. But then when it's someone you know that's local, you know, they're in your community, it just brings another layer of depth to it. It's personal, and, you know, it's more than just online. I just want to know, like, why is it worth the effort? It takes a lot of effort to harass someone and go through these channels. Like, how big of a loser do you got to be? You know?
Yeah. Well, I think that they're not right. They're not well. There's something going on in their life. They're fixating. And right now, with as angry and afraid as everybody has been since the start of the, I don't like calling it a pandemic, but since the start of all of the COVID stuff, well, actually, that's not even true, because since Trump took office, the fear, the constant 24/7 fear and anger, people are not mentally well. I'm not mentally well. And so I'm not being hard on anybody. You can't wage through all of that, even if you turn it all off and say that everything's okay. Because again, if you're a parent or if your life depends on everything, like most people in agricultures do, that fear and anger resonates all around you, and you can feel it, and it chips away at you.
Yeah.
It chips away at everybody. I don't understand what gets people there or why they get there, but
so was this person
bad.
Was this person like making threats on yourself or your family, or how was that going about?
This was a pretty unique situation of a young woman fixating on me, and I was trying to be her friend, and then I had to put up personal boundaries because she was not safe to be around my family. And there was nothing, it must have made her angry or afraid. And I did not take, any action against her, because she's young. And if she had had the chance to get the help she needed and grow out of it, the stigma in a small town, we live in a very small town. If she'd stayed here, the stigma would have, she never would have been able, she would have had to, I don't know. I just dealt with it.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't realize until it was over how much it had changed me.
That's kind of a farmer, rancher, ag mentality.
Yep.
is just to deal with it. And if you could give advice to somebody that might be in a situation like this, is that the way you would suggest they move forward, is just to deal with it?
Before and during, yes. And I would have told anybody that asked me for my situation that I was doing the right thing. But now, as I try to claw my way back to the person I was before, no, it wasn't the right thing. I should have done more. My family was protected. I did a good job that way. But the amount of anger that I'm working my way through is not healthy. And there's not a lot of places for it to go. And I wouldn't suggest just dealing with it. That there's people that I would hope that there's people that we can talk to out there to help us. And from the posts that I put out there, the private messages I've gotten from people asking me, or just telling me what they've been through too, just to be able to tell somebody, because knowing that somebody understands, even if they can't do anything to help you, knowing that somebody's listening to you and is on your side is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So find somebody to talk to. Don't just put your head down and deal with it.
So use your support system.
And yeah. And it's really amazing when you ask for it, even on social media, what an awesome support system you have. The agricultural community is really amazing. And I have people outside of the agricultural community, mm-hmm. and because they've been with me on social media for so long, I just consider them part of agriculture. But as a whole, the agricultural community is full of really, really good people that will listen. And from even some of the most crass, unlikely sources of people from what they put on social media are some of the most caring and big-hearted people that will hold your secrets and hold your confidences and listen to you and be there for you. It's really amazing. So I guess my biggest thing would be to talk to somebody, even if it's not somebody that can be right there and help you. And I put it on my social media. I will be that person. I will listen because I wished I would have talked.
We've noticed that with Ag Talk as well, or just Farm Talk on TikTok. There are a lot of people out there who want to help. So
watching that video that Corey had discovered when those videographers had followed you guys are on your ranch for a year, just how you talked about community and to know that this person came out of the community, you know, when you have a party and a celebration, everybody around, because like you said, the town isn't that large. Everybody around comes together and celebrates. That's part of the entertainment. That's part of the camaraderie. So that had to be an extremely difficult part in your circumstance on just how it started and where it started.
It didn't come from our original community. It came from, I am not much different on social media than I am in personal life. I make friends with new people as they come in. I love meeting new people. We invite people to come to our ranch that we don't know. Complete strangers can come and stay here, and we treat them like family. That's who we are. And once every so often, that can get you in trouble. And this was one of those instances. So my community didn't let me down, or it was somebody that I chose to add to our community, and because they were new here. And
did you guys ever pick up hitchhikers?
It's all on me. It was my decision. What was that?
You remind me of picking up hitchhikers. I do that all the time. My wife hates it.
No,
I pick up hitchhikers because that was something you did. You pick people up. Well, I'm just trusting of everybody, but that can go bad if you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
But normally I profile the people before I pick them up. But
now you're judging.
Well, yeah. She said she lets anybody stay at her house. I mean, I let them stay in my car for a while. But
I was one of my listeners all know that one of my favorite podcasts is the Twisted History Podcast. And like I got out of the truck and told Corey, they just so happened to be doing the Twisted History of Prostitution.
Oh, yeah.
And stated how that's how Lot Lizards started, was they were hitchhikers that then got picked up and dropped off at truck stops and didn't have anywhere else to go. I was sitting there going, where are you going with this, Dave? You know, my head immediately went to, I don't know where the end of this tunnel is.
Went to the gutter.
I was just thinking random people getting in your space is all I was thinking. So
I think this is a perfect transition time period to do our second beer.
Oh, there you go.
Of the episode. Thanks to Dahl Distributing. We have a beer from Pint 9 Brewing Company. This is a coffee brown ale. So not an IPA for Dave to turn his nose up at, but one that I think he's going to turn his nose up at anyway.
He also doesn't like coffee.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oso Cafe is an American brown ale made with a blend of Mexican and Brazilian coffee. Hazelnut and almond aromas push back a smooth, deep coffee flavor. A hint of lactose helps this brown ale finish slightly sweet.
So it's like a milky coffee with alcohol.
It smells exactly like the coffee shop I was in right before I came here.
Well, I don't dislike this. That's not what I was expecting, but that is if this was a cup of coffee.
Is that why you put it in a coffee cup rather than deal?
Because of supply chain shortages, yada yada. The normal cups we use aren't even in stock anymore.
I see. We got a coffee cup on this one. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, but I'm not an iced coffee guy, so I don't know that I like it cold. I like it hot and black. Nothing in it, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna drink. I'd drink like a half a cup of one of these.
So Cheyenne, on your guys' ranch, do you shy your own horses? Do you have people come in and do that, or are you guys like full service, do it all yourself?
No, we hire actually another rancher that's got a smaller ranch. He comes and shoes our horses for us. We do our own trimming and stuff throughout the winter. We can do that. But my husband's really tall, and it hurts his back. And
bending over,
my hands are small, and I'm just not strong enough to do it myself. So that's something we hire out.
So did you guys go to school for, like, how do you just get into ranching? Like, all right, I'm ready. Tanner, you got these guys convinced that it's beautiful. They're going to be in a rancher now. Do you just get into it, or did you go to school for it, or how did it really become?
We both went to school. I went to art school.
Okay.
Jay went to business school, and he also took some range classes, which if you're on the range, it's good to know all the plants and stuff. I guess he grew up ranching, so he went to school his whole life that way.
I gotcha.
Uncles all had cows, and his parents, his mom actually used to raise and train horses also, so he grew up riding. I grew up riding horses as well. That's all I had was horses, though. My dad was a contractor, is a contractor. I grew up building houses. I think that you could decide to be a rancher. It's a lot of work. It's a lot to learn, and you're going to want somebody there with you to help you through it. And we have those people that have helped us build and grow. And Jay was in his 30s when we started this. So he already knew what he was doing and how he's going to do it. You're going to want a backup job for the money.
Very much
so. So that you're not drowning in debt.
Well, I think even in Iowa here, you got young guys that want to start farming versus ranching. Anything agriculture, I think it's very family ties. So you kind of had somebody in it, and not a lot of people come. What do you guys think? People come from the outside and just say, I don't like banking anymore. I'm going to be I decided I'm going to plant corn and beans.
Yeah, I had a conversation with Tanner over a TikTok, not TikTok, over a Snapchat, I think. And I said, what other industry do we romanticize? Farming or ranching, like farming or ranching. Like, does a farmer retire and decide they want to go be a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, something like that? Like
a banker?
A bank. Hey, well, no one wants to do that. But
auctioneer. Lots of people do that.
But you know what I mean? Like, yep. So not only do we have like the business people, but we also have the people that are making a lot of money
that
like,
want to be,
that want to retire, okay. Yep. And just go farm and, you know, go do it. Which is fine, like, cause I'm on the fence, right? Cause like, I'm all for you having a dream and wanting to work towards something and do it.
But get out of my business, huh?
No. I'm not saying that. It's like it, but it's just weird, right? It's just like a weird concept that people want to do what I do.
Yeah.
But like a doctor or lawyer that went to school for 8 years or whatever is coming and making it harder for me to do what I want to do, even though I'm already doing it.
Yeah. Like,
it's a weird concept, but I'm all, you know, if you want to have that dream, go for it. Shoot for the stars.
But I agree. There's a lot of bankers that are in banking to try and retire early to go do something else.
Yep.
So what kind of a career is that you don't want to do it all your life? And here I sit.
So it's just weird.
The other fun part that, having not been a part of this type of livestock, you know, we've had a couple of listeners that have asked us to do some podcasts on regenerative agriculture, regenerative grazing, and it's really tough to put an entire episode together on that topic. But I think I'm going to point them to that video that we discovered, because you and your husband have really put an emphasis on how you take care of your grassland, how you maximize the efficiency of the grass that you're making hay out of, how you are taking care of the meadows that you're grazing, the BLM ground, how you have really taken the technology available and sciences available to maximize those productions. Is that something that was always ingrained in your husband, just wanting to do more and do better, or how did that come about?
Yes. His whole motto on everything is every year we have to be better than we were the year before. But as far as not using buzzwords like regenerative, when you feed any animal, whether it's grazing or you're feeding them a feed stuff, you can tell what it's doing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so things like overgrazing or undergrazing, you can tell if it's not good for the animal, it's definitely not going to be good for the land. So it's just taking care of both of them. It's really that simple. We're just taking care of the animals, and that's taking care of the land. If we overuse the land, our animals suffer. And of course the land suffers. It's just really a really nice line of common sense. And then we can add whatever mineral programs and vaccine programs we need on top of that with the science to make sure those animals are healthy and can utilize everything that nature's offering them.
Yeah, good land stewardship goes a long ways. I'm curious just because growing up in Montana and then coming out to Iowa. So in Iowa, cow-calf pair, Iowa State has it down to 1.6 acres per cow-calf pair. And when I was out in Montana, it was about 30 acres per cow-calf pair. What where you're at with your pastures, how many acres do you guys plan per pair?
We don't.
Okay.
We don't because... Let's take last year versus this year, for instance. Last year, we have more acreage than we need to grow hay for the cows that we have. We usually have 200 to 300 ton of extra hay, which is the way my husband likes it. We can sell it. We're not going to stock to capacity. This year, we had to buy 200 ton of hay because even though we can irrigate, we did not get any moisture and nothing would grow. We had half of our normal yield. We didn't have to sell any cows, and we were able to buy the overhead hay that we need to feel safe. We've never looked at stocking our place at the per acre. We stock what our hay yield is.
I got you.
And then we stock less than our hay yield so that we always have more feed than we have animals. Our cows are fat and spoiled,
and
obviously.
Hay is crazy expensive this year, about like fertilizer is going to be. But I mean, the per tonnage, it was way up.
It's going to be right here for everybody. I don't see anybody in agriculture getting out of this shiny this year. I hope they do. I don't want anybody to go through what some of us are going through, but it's going to be a real touch and go year for most of us.
So as I open up the last beer that we're going to try on this episode, in the neck of the woods that you guys are in, what seems to be a bigger battle, Mother Nature and the weather, or Mother Nature and the natural predators that loom around?
This year it was both of them working together viciously to try and make us cry every day. We had a rough wolf year too.
So that's a wolf. That's the predator's wolf, not the bear, the neon bears we were talking about.
No, we don't. I've never had much of an issue with black bears with our cattle. I know grizzly bears can be a problem for ranchers, but we don't have those yet. They're trying to give them to us, but we don't have those. Black bears are pretty, they're not going to go kill a cow. Wolves are our number one predator in the mountains. We do deal with some coyotes and cougars during calving season also down in the valley.
So are you guys trying to handle that? You got people that go up and hunt, or can you hunt for those?
Yes, they lifted the restrictions. You can hunt wolves in Idaho. You can trap wolves in Idaho. We can show people where we lose our stuff. We don't have time to hunt wolves. People freak out. Actually, the headlines about how Idaho is trying to kill 99% of its wolf population, did you see that circulating around?
No, they didn't make it to us.
Oh, good. Maybe I shouldn't talk about it. My husband was Idaho Cattle Association's president this year, and he helped legislate that bill. He worked with Idaho Fish and Game and the Forest Service and the BLM and Idaho hunters and Idaho conservationists to come up with something that would help us, because we are so overstocked with wolves that the recovery is 99% over the 100% that they wanted. We're like 200% recovered with wolves. But anyway, we don't have time, personally, to hunt wolves. We carry rifles with us if they're out there when we're calving and stuff, but we've not had wolf pressure during calving yet. This might be our first season of it because we have a new pack that I can see moving around in the hills behind the house every once in a while that's a little bit scary.
Wow. Yeah, I would say so. Let's dive into this last beer here. Corey, which one did I just open from Dahl Distributing?
Big Grove Royal Eddie. Another IPA. Why are we getting so many IPAs?
We've had an Easy Eddie.
Yeah, so it's Royal Eddie, an Imperial Hazy IPA. It's 9% alcohol. You don't need many of these.
It's hazy.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. You can feel the 9%.
I kind of do.
It's like on the back of the tongue.
Is it like on Dumb and Dumber when he's like, give me that, you pumpkin pie haircutted priest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't mind it.
No, it was pretty good.
That's the one when you tell the wife, I'm just going to have one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then
you just have that one.
That's the one that you go to the restaurant, you order one, and the waitress comes back, and you're like, oh, I guess I'll do a second one. You stand up from the table.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Honey, you're driving.
That's the Long Island's of Cafe B is what that is. Yeah.
All right. Well, Cheyenne, we appreciate you hanging out with us. We're doing something a little bit different. So for all of 2021, we asked our guests what the most successful people you know all have in common. And now that we've wrapped that up, we've got that behind us, we're starting off our new year with a new question, and I think we're going to try and do the same thing. So be thinking about this as we wrap up. What do you know now that you wished you would have known sooner? So maybe younger you, maybe early on as you were building up your ranch, what is something that you know now that would have been helpful to have known sooner? We're just, with this concept, we're hoping that our listeners can learn from our guests, because we've all learned a little tip, a little trick. You're like, oh, crap. If I'd have known that a long time ago, that would have saved me a whole bunch of things. So be thinking about that, Cheyenne. We here at Farm for Profit appreciate all of our partners. Started off with BW Fusion. Of course, we had our John Deere ad, and then Gearinghoff, which I still can't get over the video that we discovered almost a month ago of that giant combine-looking thing over in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
But truly shows the diversity of the research and engineers in that Gearinghoff company to manufacture and build whatever you're looking for.
I wonder if they'll have that thing at the Louisville Farm Show.
I don't know.
Or the Louisville.
Louisville. My brother-in-law kept telling me that you can't say Louisville.
Just say it like you got rocks in your mouth.
Louisville. Speaking of which, if you guys are going to be down there, reach out to us, because I do think the three of us are going to make it down there, if not for all of it, for a majority of it. And we will be down there and see you there. So Cheyenne, that was a little professional stalling to give you a chance to see if you could remember something that maybe you know now that you wished you'd have known when you were younger.
All I can come up with, because we have been so blessed on this journey, is that I wish we'd started sooner. And I know from my husband's perspective that he was told that it just wasn't possible. And I know he was told that because people didn't want him to have the financial burden and the stress that you have when you have to start on your own. But you can do it. You might have to have a couple extra jobs and you have to start really small. But if this is the life you want, take a chance and try. What's a few dollars if you're out a few dollars? I mean, what's the difference between buying land or having fancy ATVs and boats or brand new cars? We have junked out ATVs and we buy used cars, and I don't own a boat. That's the difference. But I am living the life I want to live. If we could have had 10 more years, I feel like we're getting so old so fast. We could have started in our 20s instead of our 30s.
Mm-hmm.
We could have done so much more. My advice would be, if you know what you want to do, whether it's agriculture or not, if you know what you want to do, take a chance and try and do it. Don't just look at the financial part of it. It has to play in for a lot of people. We are not rich by any means. We will be paying for this into our 70s. We lucked out with the type of loan we got and how long they made it and the interest rate they put on it. But we didn't have a whole bunch of money to throw at this. We had time and passion. And if you have passion and you want to do something, try. Don't give up on yourself. Even if the people that you love and trust in your life, even if it's your parents, because they love you and they don't want to see you struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You owe it to yourself to be passionate about what you're doing in your life. Don't give up on passion.
That ties right into what our last guest in 2021 said, Bushels and Barrels. Of the most successful people said, don't be afraid to fail.
Yeah. And I would argue that you're spot on, just for the sheer, if I'm just talking Farm for Profit podcast, if I'm talking this group of three of us here, we should have started sooner. We had been talking, what was it, 2 years-ish? You know, the idea started so far in advance of when the first content actually came out. If we knew where we'd actually be sitting today, we would say the exact same thing. Just go do it. Go take a chance. Even if it's calculated and it's a small step, take the step. Let's do it. I agree. It's actually hitting home. That advice is hitting home with me right now.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll get. I bet we'll get that answer a lot.
You think so?
I bet.
So are we going to tell the people that it's already taken? They have to come up with something new.
Ooh, that would be good.
Nope. That come up with another.
It's
one.
Like around the ring and.
I got dibs.
Sure, I got dibs. She's got dibs. So
that is funny.
How do people get a hold of you? Give us a shout out with your credentials for social media, or if somebody wants to follow you.
Okay, so I'm J Lazy S Angus on Instagram and on TikTok, and I'm J Lazy S Angus Ranch on Facebook, and that's as far as I've gone. Social. Oh no, and I'm J Lazy S Angus on Twitter. Sorry.
That's right.
I've not added any more than those four.
And at Ag of the World, follow that one too.
Yeah, that's another good account.
Yeah, Ag of the World on Twitter. And we have Ag of the World on TikTok and Instagram, but they just screenshot what our Twitter people are doing to help spread the word. It's when I have time in it, so it doesn't happen very often, but they're out there. You can find us. And then there's our video on Life on the Range. And if you enjoy agriculture and you enjoy learning about what the people around this area do, whether it's cattle or sheep or there's a bunch of other things. Life on the Range is all informational and educational. There's no agenda to any of it. And it's pretty fascinating to get to know the people in this area through those. So.
I enjoyed watching it. I know the guys enjoyed watching it. That is a great video to go check out. And Jay Lazy S. So if you guys are curious about the brands and how that works, my best explanation is that your S is laying down. Is that where the lazy S comes in?
Yeah, the S is laying down.
Yeah. Kind of clever. We got to come up with a brand for the Farm for Profit podcast.
That'd be cool.
Oh, my.
The Farm Lazy 4. Nope. We're going to really work on this. All right.
Well, Cheyenne, I'm glad you've gotten through some of your issues. You were quiet, it seemed like, for a while, but I'm glad to have you back. I love your content. Keep it up.
Thank you. Great job. I'm trying to come back stronger and be more involved again. So hopefully, if you don't see me, yell at me. keep me going.
All right. Our listeners are going to rally around you. We thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you joining us. We know it's quite a bit to ask. So we hope everything stays well. And until next time, we'll talk to you again. Corey?
Thank you. Take care.
Crack a neon bear hug from Doll Distributing. You deserve it.
Can we pause for a second?
Yep, you bet.
Yep.
I'm on a podcast, girl. Do your chores, please. I'll be out in a little bit. Do your chores, chicken. No, you cannot drink beer with me. Make sure the chickens have water, please.
This is an edited out portion.
Can we keep that clip, though? No, you cannot drink beer with me.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you cannot drink beer with me.
Okay, so back to the question.